Our theme, you can be just a Christian. That's what God wants. Amen?
Amen.
So this morning we're going to be talking on the subject, you can be just a Christian by respecting biblical authority. By respecting biblical authority. Now, if it's okay, I'm going to use this book here, the Bible. I didn't come here to share with you my opinion. I didn't come here to share with you my thoughts. I'm here to share with you what the Bible says, the greatest book ever written.
Amen.
And what I want to do this morning, I have two objectives and two objectives in this lesson. The first objective is this, is to provide evidence that this book called the Bible should be our only source of religious authority. Is that all right? Let me say it again, is to provide evidence that the Bible is to be our only, not one of the sources, but the only source for religious authority. The second purpose of this lesson, or objective of this lesson, is to show from the Bible that God wants us all believers, to be just Christians. From the Bible, the only source of religious authority states that God wants all believers to be just Christians. Now, to achieve these two objectives, I have seven thoughts for us to consider this morning. Seven questions. And so when I get to number seven, you know that the lesson is coming to an end. Amen. We got seven. Seven questions, seven thoughts to consider as we investigate the subject. We can be just Christians by respecting biblical authority. Again, I want to say good morning to you. Now, here's the first thought. Here's the first question. Can we know God's will for us? Can we know? You see, we got to lay a foundation. Can we know God's will for us? What does the Bible say about this question here? Can we know God's will? Let's turn to John 8, verse 32. John 8, verse 32, a verse hopefully you're familiar with. But I'm going to assume this morning in this lesson and in the Sundays and in the morning service that you don't know anything about God's will. And I'm going to be as simple as I possibly can be. John 8, verse 32. If you have your copy of God's word, let's turn there together. Notice what Jesus says, and here's the question is, can we know God's will for us? Can we know? The Bible says, and Jesus says in John 8, and verse number 32, talking to his disciples, and you might know the truth. No. And you shall what? Know the truth. And the truth shall what? Set or make you free. Jesus says it's possible to know the truth. Now turn to 1 John, the chapter is 5, and look at verse number 13. The question is, can we know God's will? That ought to be the most important question on our mind this morning. Can we know God's will for us? Can we know what God wants us to do in order to please him, in order to be found acceptable on the day of judgment? Jesus says to his disciples, you're going to know the truth. You can know the truth. And when you know the truth, it will set or make you free. Now, notice what he says in 1 John chapter 5. And the verse is 13. John says, these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might what? Know that you have what? Eternal life. That's a reason to smile. Amen. We can know God's will for what? Eternal life. We can know God's will. Can we know God's will? The Bible says, yes, we can know God's will. How is it possible we can know God's will? Turn to John chapter 16, verse 13. Before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he promised something. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for Jesus to lie. Jesus promised something that when he got back to the Father, that he was going to do something that would enable us to know the truth. that would enable us to know what we need to do to have eternal life. Jesus promised something. And Jesus and God, the Holy Spirit, they can't lie. Listen to what the Bible says in John 16, verse 13. Jesus says, howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into a portion of the truth. No, a section of the truth. No, he's going to guide you to what? All the truth. Now, my question for you this morning, did the Holy Spirit do his job? Did the Holy Spirit do what Jesus said it was going to do? And the answer is absolutely yes. If the Holy Spirit did its job, we can know the truth. And the truth is about what we need to do to please God. Now, I want you to turn somewhere else. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Concerning God's will. Notice what the Bible says. See, God came up with a plan whereby you and I can be saved before the world was ever formed. Before God said, let there be light. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came up with a plan. And that plan is called the scheme of redemption. Notice what he says. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, talking about God, Jesus. God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. God, not man, God has saved us. The holy calling, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, is the gospel. That's the holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Notice this. Before what? Time began. I want you to know something. God came up with a plan whereby you and I could be saved in the whole world. God came up with a plan. The Holy Spirit revealed the plan to the apostles. The apostles were going to come. The Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles into all the truth. And we have all the truth written here. This is God's plan that was in the mind of God before the world was ever written. And brothers and sisters and friends, we can know it. Amen. We can know it. We can know God's will. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. Can we know God's will? Can we know God's will? God came up with a plan. This is not an afterthought. God came up with a plan whereby we could be saved before God ever made us. Because God was not going to make us robots. He made us free moral agents. And God said the possibility that we could sin and be separated from him. Therefore, God came up with a plan whereby you and I could be restored to him. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, was going to reveal that plan. Did the Holy Spirit do his job? Yes. Now look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. This plan, having made known, I like that. You don't have to guess. The Holy Spirit, God said, having made known to us the what? The mystery. For a long time, for years and centuries, God's plan was a what? A mystery. The prophets talked about it in the Old Testament, but they didn't fully comprehend it. They knew and they prophesied the day was going to come that God was going to reveal his scheme of redemption. They didn't fully understand it, but the day was going to come. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God planned for many years was a mystery. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 26. For many years, this plan was a mystery. But remember, the Holy Spirit was going to reveal it to the apostles. And the apostles have written it so we can know it. And if we can, and because we can know it, we can obey it. Look at verse 26, Colossians 1, verse 26. The mystery, God's plan, God's will for us has been hidden from ages and from generations. I like this word here, but now, that's comforting, but now has been revealed, has been made known to his saints to them God's will, to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory. The will has been revealed. But who revealed the will? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 again. I've got to go back to Ephesians chapter 3 before we go to question number 2. Can we know God's will? You can just be a Christian by respecting biblical authority. Because why is that important? We need to understand that we can know God's will. But notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 5. Which in other ages, remember, was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now been revealed by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to the holy apostles and prophets. What's my point? Can we know God's will? Yes. God came up with a plan before the world was ever formed. Jesus promised that when I get back to the Father, I'm going to send what? The Holy Spirit, and he's going to guide you into what? All the truth. Do we have all the truth? Yes. Who revealed it? The Holy Spirit. That was the job of the Holy Spirit. And now the mystery, the plan of salvation, has been revealed. Let's go to the second question. Can we know it? Second, can we understand it? Yes, some people say you can read the Bible, but you can't understand God's will. You can't understand it. We may have it, brother, but we can't understand it. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3. How that by revelation, he, God, has made known to me the mystery, the will of God. The will of God was a mystery. And I'm so thankful this morning. I got to keep my emotions under control. I'm happy this morning. And the reason I can know God's will, I don't have to go through life guessing. I can know God's will. And knowing God's will gives me comfort that when I have to say goodbye to this life, not because of my goodness and because of God's grace and mercy, that when I stand before the throne of God, not with arrogance, but with confidence, that I'm going to hear him say, well done. That's comforting to me to know that the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father have done their job. And if I just do my job, I can know God's will, and you can know God's will, and you don't have to guess whether you're going to heaven. You can know that you're going to heaven. Ephesians 3, verse 3 again. How that by revelation he has made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written unto you. Listen to verse 4. By which when you read God's will, you may what? Understand. Brothers and sisters, don't let anybody tell you you can't know God's will. You can't understand God's will. Paul said it's been revealed to me, the mystery. And I've written it unto you so that when you read it, you don't have to be a Greek scholar. You don't have to be a Hebrew scholar. Thanks be to God, you don't have to be. But you can understand it. Go to Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians 5. Look at verse number 17. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Listen to this exhortation. Therefore, because of what the Holy Spirit has done, therefore, do not be what? Unwise. But what? Understanding what? What the will of God is. We can know God's will. We can know God's will. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has done his job. He has done his job, and we can know God's will. Now, that brings me to the third question. If we can know God's will and we can understand God's will, where is God's will? Where is God's will? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If we can know it and we can understand it, where is it? It's in the Bible. Let me tell you where it's not. It's not in your feelings. Did you hear what I just said? God's will is not in your feelings. Feelings can't lead you to God's will. You know why? Now you can hold your finger at 2 Timothy, but turn back to Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 12. The the truth, God's will is not in your feelings. Solomon says that there is a way that what? Seems right. But the end thereof, the ways of death. You know, every one of us in here, we got a different feeling about something. Amen? Feelings, it's not God's will. And I hear people saying, I just don't feel. I just don't think. It doesn't matter what you feel. Let me smile. It doesn't matter what you feel. Feelings doesn't reveal to you God's will. God's will has been revealed to the apostles. The apostles have revealed it. Hey, have written it to us. The inspired men have written it down so we can know God's will. We can understand God's will. And all of God's will is in this book here. It's not in your feelings. It's not in your thoughts. Go to Isaiah chapter 59. Look at verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 59, verse 8 and 9. The Messianic prophet said, God said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your ways. God doesn't think like us. If we're trying to find God's will and we're all going to go with our each thoughts, all of us going to have different ways. And you remember, feelings can't lead you to heaven. Thoughts can't lead you to heaven. If you want to know God's will, you need to open up the book, because the book contains all of God's will. And then there's one other thing where it's not all of you can't discover God's will by the majority. You can't go with what the majority of people vote on, what the majority of people think, or what the majority of people feel. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. The way of to heaven is not in man. It's not in man's thoughts. It's not in man. Man hadn't been to heaven. Amen. Man's trying to get to heaven. And so it's not in man to come up with a plan of whereby he can get to heaven. God, who created us, wants a relationship with us. And God came up with a plan. Remember, I told you, before the world was ever formed, the Holy Spirit was promised for a purpose to reveal that plan. Did the Holy Spirit do his job? Yes. Who did he reveal it to? The inspired men, the apostles and prophets. They have written it down to us. Where is God's will? 2 Timothy 3, now verse 16. Well, we discover where it's not. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the majority of people say ought to be. What matters is what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed. Inspiration means God breathed, God will, God spoke. When you read in the Bible, you're not reading the mind of Paul when you read 1 Corinthians. When you read Timothy, you're not reading what Paul wants us to know. You're reading what God put in the mind of Paul to tell Timothy, to tell us. When you read the Bible, you're reading the very mind of God. That's what the Bible reveals in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. That the Spirit of God knows God. And the Spirit of God has revealed to us God's mind. What does God want us to do? The Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. And all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Listen to this. It's profitable for four things. What's the first one? It's for doctrine. For teaching you what you need to do to get right with God. If you want to know what you have to do to get right with God, it's in the Bible. For reproof. If you want to know what you need to not do to stay in a relationship with God, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. What you need to avoid, it's in the Bible. Then it says for correction. If you stray away, what you need to do to come back to God, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Then it's for instruction. What you need to do to stay right with God. The word of God is inspired. The word, if you want to know God's will, the Bible contains God's will. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And listen to what Peter says to the saints as he writes this final epistle of his before he is eventually put to death. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 20. He says, knowing this first, Sammy, that no part of prophecy of scripture, that no part of the Bible is of any man's private interpretation. The Bible is not Paul's personal opinion. The Bible is not part of Peter's perfect opinion. The Bible or book of Revelation is not John's personal opinion. But, verse 21, for prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke. They wrote as they were moved or guided by the Holy Spirit. What are you saying, Peter? When Peter was writing this epistle, he was writing in his own style, in his own language, but God, through the Holy Spirit, was guiding him so he couldn't write error. We can trust this book. We can depend on this book, but my feelings you can't trust. Your feelings you can't trust. The Bible contains the will of God. We can know God's will. We can understand God's will. We have God's will. Then that brings me to the fourth question. What should be the source of biblical authority? The Bible. What should be the only source of biblical authority then? Religious authority. When it comes to what I need to do to be saved, where should I not go? To my feelings. Where should I not go? To what the majority of people are doing. Where should I not go? To my thoughts. Where should I go? To the Bible. If I want to know God's will, I must respect biblical authority. The Bible should be the only source of authority. Why? It's inspired. It is from God. You can trust this book here. But our feelings are subject to change. Amen? But the Word of God stays the same. I want you to look at two other things about this book here, why it should be our only source of authority. Turn to Psalms 119. I want you to look at two verses in Psalms 119. The first one, Psalms 119, look at verse 140. Look at what the psalmist says here about God's word. Psalms 119 and verse 140. Listen to what he says about God's word. Why it should be our only source of authority. Your word, God's word, is what? Pure. God's word is very pure. Amen? My thoughts, as innocent as they are, they're not always pure. Your thoughts are not. Your thoughts can be guided by selfishness or personal opinions or feelings. That's why it shouldn't be reliable as the source of authority when it comes to religion. To come into what your thoughts are not pure. You're a good person. I don't question any honesty of anyone in this audience. But the Bible, God's word, they're pure. Look at verse number 160. Not only are they pure, but they are truth. They are truth. They are reliable. They are trustworthy. God's word is inspired. God's word is pure. God's word is truth. It is true. Therefore, it should be our only source of authority. God has revealed to us his will. We can know God's will because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to the apostles. The apostles have written it, and the Holy Spirit guided the men as they were writing the Bible that they couldn't make error. We have a translation here. Yes, there are questions about translation, but the Word of God in its original intent, its original writing, is pure and innocent. Amen? Amen. Now, I believe these translations are reliable enough that we can know God's will. I don't think you need to go and learn Greek or Hebrew in order to fully understand God's will. This New King James translation that I'm using is a translation. It's not the original, but it's reliable enough that I can know God's will for me. Now, since we can know God's will, what is it? Question number five. From a religious standpoint, what is it that God's will has revealed about what we should be religiously. Now, in order to understand this, you got to go back to the Old Testament. Go back to Isaiah chapter again. Go to Isaiah chapter 62. Look at verse number 2. Remember, we can know God's will. Amen. Where is God's will? It's in the Bible. What the Bible says, we have to respect. Whether we agree with it or not, we got to respect it. Amen. You may not like it, but you got to respect it and you got to obey it if you want to please God. Now, if you want to please yourself, you're not going to respect God's authority for religious issues today, the Bible. But if you love God, if you love Jesus, Jesus says, Sammy, if you love me, you'll keep my what? Commandments. Where are his commandments? They're in the Bible. The Bible is inspired. The Bible is pure. It is truth. And we have all the truth. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, everything pertaining to life and godliness, God has given to us in this book. Everything we need to know to please God is right here. But what does the Bible say? Turn to Isaiah 62. 700 years before the day of Pentecost. Listen to what the Bible says. And the Gentiles. Why is that important? I'm a Gentile. I'm thankful that this verse is in the Bible. One day the Gentiles are going to see God's glory. You see, that was one time the Jews were God's chosen people. Only the Jews had a personal relationship with God. And God revealed his will under the Old Testament to the Jews. But God says, Jesus made this, talked about this in John 10, verse 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them must I bring. That was us, Gentiles. God wants us Gentiles to have a relationship with him. And Isaiah prophesies that the Gentiles one day are going to see God's righteousness and all the kings their glory. And when the Gentiles see God's righteousness, he says, and you shall be called by a new name. And now look at the latter part of that verse. I want you to see this. Which the Pope is going to name. And I don't mean to be humorous there. The majority of the people are going to vote on, which is going to be left up to your feelings, which is going to be left up to your thoughts. No, God is going to name that new name. Do you see that? God is going to give his people a new name. And if you want to please God, then you ought to be wearing the name God gave. Amen. And when you wear the name God gave, you are respecting biblical authority. But suppose you say, I know the Bible says that, but I don't care. Let me smile. Then do you really love God? When the Gentiles shall see God's righteousness, God says, I'm going to, not you, Sammy. It doesn't matter what you say, Sammy. It matters what I say. I'm going to give. Now turn to Acts chapter 11. Let's go to the New Testament. You see, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people baptized, but they were all Jews. There were some proselytes, but there were no Gentiles baptized. But in Acts 11, look at verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that what? The Gentiles had received the what? The word of God. Uh-oh. God said, when the Gentiles shall see my righteousness, we now, we'll talk about it later on. Some Gentiles in Acts 10 had obeyed, had seen God's will. Where's God's will for us? It's right here. And we had to do the same thing those Gentiles did to become righteous in God's eyesight. But notice here, verse 18. I just want you to see that we're talking about something here. When they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to whom? Repentance to life. The Gentiles have experienced God's righteousness. They have become right with God. Gentiles like us, they had sinned. They have been separated from God. But now the Gentiles have a relationship with God. And God says, when the Gentiles shall see my righteousness, when the Gentiles have a relationship with me, I'm going to give my people a new name. Now, look at verse 25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to where? Antioch. So that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught great many people. And the disciples were first called, I don't mean to be disrespectful, they were first called Baptists in Antioch. Is that the name God gave? What about Mormons? What about Catholics? It doesn't matter. Any name will do. I just feel like it doesn't matter. You remember, where's the truth not? It's not in your feelings. I just don't think, it's not in your thoughts. Where is it? And the disciples were first called what? Christians. Who gave that name? That's not something that originated with the Church of Christ. Amen. Let me say that. The Church of Christ doesn't have a creed other than the Bible. The Church of Christ didn't come up with the name Christians. God gave that name. Let me smile. You can just be a Christian if you respect what? Biblical authority. Now turn to Acts 26. Even in that day and time, there was a king that had an understanding of the Old Testament. He understood the book of Isaiah. It was in written form. It was not in what we have here, a Bible. But it was, there were copies of the book of Isaiah. And notice what the Bible says. Start back at verse 24. Now as he, Acts 26, verse 24. Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. You're crazy, Paul. Much learning has driven you mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of what? Truth and reason. For the king, King Agrippa, before whom I also speak freely, knows. He knows. He's, what I've been preaching and teaching, it's not something hidden. I've spoken this publicly, and the king, he's aware that what I've been saying. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since the things were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophecy? Do you believe Isaiah? I know you do. I know you believe. Then Agrippa said, Paul, do you think you're going to persuade me? Notice what had gone in circulation in that culture of what God's people were called. Do you think you're going to persuade me to become what? A Christian? King Agrippa knew that the name that God wants his believers to wear is Christian. Now turn to 1 Peter 4. In Asia Minor, the saints have been slaughtered. Many of them are contemplating quitting, going back to Judaism. The persecution, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, is severe. They're going through severe fiery trials, and they're seeing their saints being slaughtered on the left and right, and they're discouraged. And Peter says, don't quit. Don't give up. Why? Because if any man suffer as a what? Christian. You ought not to be ashamed. There's a reward waiting for you. There's a reward waiting for you if you suffer as a Christian. My question for you, what does the Bible say the name we ought to wear? If you wear some other name, are you respecting biblical authority? I mean, let's think about that for just a moment. Where in the Bible is there another name we ought to wear? It's okay if it's in the Bible. But if you're wearing a name because you feel like it doesn't matter, then are you respecting biblical authority? If you're wearing a name just because you think it's all right, are you respecting, am I respecting biblical authority? Let's go to our question number six. And question number six is this. By whose authority are you wearing the name you're wearing. By whose authority? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 21. Jesus was confronted with the chief priests and the scribes and asked him a question that I want to ask you. Matthew chapter 21. Beginning at verse 23. Now, when he came unto the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted Jesus as he was teaching and said, by what authority? Who gave you the authority, Jesus, to do what you're doing, to teach what you're teaching? By whose authority, Jesus? So it's not wrong for me to ask you, by whose authority? Other than Christian, if you're wearing a religious name and calling yourself that, by whose authority? The Bible should be our only source of authority. And if you're wearing a name and it's not in the Bible, are you respecting biblical authority? Listen to what the Bible says. Turn to Acts 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's none other name with the authority than the name of Christ, the name of Christian. You know what Christian really means? It means a follower of Christ, but it really in the original Greek is deeper than that. It's someone that belongs to Christ. It's someone that has a fellowship with Christ, a relationship with Christ. Why is it? We're going to talk about this in the sermon this morning. Why is it we need a relationship with Christ? Because we are what? Sinners. And when you are reunited with God, God gives you a name to show that you're in fellowship with him. And any name won't do. That's why I'm a Christian. Because it shows that I'm in fellowship with God through Christ. You remember God said, I came up with a plan, Samuel, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We read it a few moments ago, verse 9. That God has saved us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace through Christ Jesus. Well, how do we get to God? We got to go through Christ. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, Sammy. The truth and the light. No man goeth to the Father but by me. And how do we show the world that we have fellowship with God? We go through Christ. And that's why we wear the name Christian. Now, think about it. If you're wearing some other religious name, are you really respecting God's will? Are you really giving honor to God? Are you respecting the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit had revealed all the truth. The Holy Spirit had revealed God's will, that when the Gentiles shall see my glory, when the Gentiles are made right with God, when they're brought back in fellowship with God, I'm going to give not just the Jews, but I'm going to give the Jews and Gentiles a new name. Better than sons and daughters, Isaiah 55, verse 6. Better than sons, and I'm going to give them a new name, an everlasting name, which the mouth of the Lord, the mouth of God, is going to give. So what name did God give? Christian. But suppose, again, I decide it really doesn't matter. I'm not respecting biblical authority. I want to close with the final question. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Are we respecting biblical authority when we do what we want to do? Are we respecting biblical authority when we do what we want to do? Now, you hold your finger in Revelation chapter 22. But I want you to turn back to something else before we leave it. I have a right to add something when I want to. I just had a thought. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Look at verse 11. Paul is in the city of Ephesus. And the Bible says in Acts 19, verse 11, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that when the handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirit went out of them, then some of the itinerant Jews, exorcists, took upon himself." These were Jews that were traveling, and they saw Paul casting out demons of people. That's what's going on in Ephesus. These Jews saw that Paul was doing that, and they decided to try to mimic Paul. Okay? They didn't have the authority to do it. Let me tell you something. When you don't have the authority to do something, there's consequences for it. That's what I just had a thought about. And here's what's going on. We see the consequences. These people didn't have the authority to do what they were trying to do, but they saw Paul do it. And called upon themselves, called the name of the Lord Jesus over those whom had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise, we command you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." We've heard Paul preach, come out of these people. Look at verse 14. "And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest who did so." These seven boys, they were doing this, traveling through Ephesus, mimicking Paul. Then have the authority. And even the evil spirit recognized something. Verse 15. "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. I recognize his authority. Paul, I know. I recognize his authority. But who are you?" When you don't have the authority to do what you're doing, you can bring damnation upon yourself and others. Look at the next verse. "And the spirit came out of those men and did what? And beat them up." They didn't have the authority to do it. Brothers and sisters, we need to respect biblical authority. How are we going to save ourselves? 1 John 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that you may know the truth." Dan, I didn't hear the bell. 4 minutes, great. I have 4 minutes. Y'all better turn that bell up. Y'all want to get out of here today. Somebody got a shout out. See, if Rhonda was here, she'd be right over here pulling my coat saying, "Sammy, quit." I don't have a Rhonda. I'm sure there'll be some people ready to say, "Hey, I'll be Rhonda if they're going to get you to sit down. I'll be gladly be Rhonda." Revelation 22. I want you to look at two verses. We close. Verse 7. Are we respecting biblical authority when we wear another name? Jesus says, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who," what? "Keeps the words of the prophecy of" what? "Why it's inspired. Why it's pure. Why it is truth, is holy. Not those who do what they feel or think." Verse 14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, for they have a right. Blessed for those who obey what's in this book, for they have a right to" what? "The tree of life." Who has a right to walk through those pearly gates? Not because you deserve it. It's because of God's grace and mercy. But when you comply with God's will, you put yourself in a position to receive God's grace and mercy. God and grace and mercy is everybody. But those who are going to be saved are those who comply with God's will to receive God's grace and mercy. I close with this. Can we know God's will? Can we understand God's will? God's will is that we all wear any name we want to wear. No, God's will is we wear a Christian. Am I respecting biblical authority when I'm taking it upon myself to wear any name I want because it feels good? Because I think it's okay. The answer is no. If I want to be blessed on the day of judgment, I have to respect biblical authority. May God bless you.